chapter 22. I said I was going to preach on this morning. I told you tonight that I was going to preach on the subject, failure doesn't have to be final. And that's what I'm going to preach on. And after dinner, I came up to the church early, and I've been in prayer and praying for the church. One thing I've learned in pastoring, the devil does not like it when God's church is doing well. And when the church is doing well, you can expect that the devil's going to do his best to bring some kind of problem in the church. I'll tell you that right now. So we need to pray, and we just need to stay on guard. Amen? Amen. Don't let down, because when you do, he'll slap you upside the head. I'm telling you. In Luke chapter 22, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read beginning in verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him, and as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what you're saying." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crowed, or the rooster crowed. Matter of fact, at this point in Mark, by the way, Mark says that Peter began to curse. And so he didn't just deny him, he cursed and denied him. And verse 61 says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the rooster crows, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Father, we need you tonight. We love you. Have your way in our lives. Challenge us from this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Really enjoyed the worship part of the service tonight. The songs. Just something to shout about. It really is. You know, failure is... Somebody said failure is not an option. But the fact of the matter is, we all fail at some point in our lives, you know, we really do. God laid this message on my heart, and I really want to preach it the way the Lord wants me to tonight. And I was thinking, as I was putting this sermon together, we've seen Peter in such wonderful settings besides this. I mean, we've seen Peter in some great settings. It was Peter, you know, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he says, "Whom do men say that I am?" In Matthew chapter 16, it was Peter that spoke up and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And we believe and are sure," he said, "we're sure about this." It was Peter that spoke up, and it was Peter that Jesus was speaking to when he said, "Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." In Matthew chapter 14, we have the account of Jesus walking on the water, and he gets near the boat, and the disciples are afraid. And it was Peter that said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come." And it was Peter that got out of the boat. And you know, poor Peter, we get on him because he sunk, but bless God, he was the only one willing to get out of the boat, wasn't he? He got out of the boat. At least he tried. It was Peter that did that. It was Peter who asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, a legitimate question. I really appreciate this about him, because when he had a question, he would ask it. He said, "Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" And Jesus said, "No, Peter. How about 70 times 7, or more than you can count?" You know, aren't you glad Peter asked that question? If he didn't, we'd probably still be wondering. But Jesus gave a good answer. You got to be forgiving. And it was Peter who said in Matthew 26, he said, Lord, all these other disciples might be offended because of you, but not me. I'll die for you. And guess what? It was Peter that John tells us in his account of the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was Peter that pulled out a sword and hacked off a guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 50 tells us in this chapter, says, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. This account and a couple of the others, they don't tell us who it was. But John tells us it was Peter. That man, Peter he told the Lord he would die for him, and he pulled out the sword and he was fixing to put up a fight. And Jesus said, Peter, put that sword away. If you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. That wasn't the way Jesus wanted it to go. But I believe at that point in his life, Peter was ready to do exactly what he told the Lord Jesus he would do. I mean, we see Peter in some great, and even here, in this setting right here, you know, we see Peter following the Lord after he's been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, after he's been taken captive, after they've tied his hands up, after he knows this is all going to come crumbling down. I mean, this is some serious stuff. And yet we see Peter in verse 54 says Peter is following him afar off. Now, I've used that, and I got to tell you, I'm working on a message right now about distant discipleship. But, you know, poor Peter, we look at that and we say, Peter, he should have been closer to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. The fact that Peter was in this area at this point shows us he had courage. He was the only one who followed him even this far. And yes, it may have been at a distance. It may have been at a point where he could see how this would end, and yet he didn't think it would affect him too badly. He was following him at a distance, but I'm glad to know Peter had the courage to follow the Lord even here when nobody else would. I mean, this is a dangerous situation. And they're ready to kill him and put him on trial. And yet Peter still had the courage to follow him. We've seen so much good from Peter. So much good. And a lot of good yet to come. But in this setting right here, we see a failure that is much worse than Peter taking his eyes off of Jesus and sinking in the water. We see a failure that amounts to denying Jesus and potty mouth. Or no, denying Jesus and sailor mouth. That's what he did. I mean, think about that for a minute. Can you imagine that you're in a setting and somebody, you know, maybe it's at the cafeteria at work, And somebody comes to you and says, aren't you a Christian? And you're like, no. And then somebody else comes, well, I thought you said you said, well, I'm not a Christian. And then somebody else comes by and, you know, I thought you, well, and you start cursing and tell. That's what Peter did here. I mean, he fell flat on his face. Man, this is serious stuff. The one that Jesus had said he would give the keys to the kingdom to is put in this situation. And when the rubber meets the road, when the chips were down, when he needed him to step up, Peter backs down, starts cursing, and three times says, I don't know this guy. Can you imagine? Man, you talk about failure. That is a failure of a big magnitude. Now I begin to think about failure. And here's what I've concluded. You know, failure is a part of life. Right? I don't buy into this idea. Now, you might, you know, nowadays folks are like, let's just play the game and let's not have a winner and a loser. You know, we don't want kids to lose. You know? What? You know what? Life sometimes going to deal you some hard blows. So you're not going to win all the time. So you not only need to learn how to win with dignity, you need to learn to lose with dignity when you play. That's what sports is about. Listen, did you know? Think about this. Think about the Winter Olympics that just went. Think about all them athletes that marched in. And I didn't watch it all, but I've watched it in the past. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of athletes marching in there. Do you realize how many of those athletes actually win a medal? Maybe, and this is an estimate, maybe 8% of all those. Do you realize that that means that about 92% of those athletes fail? They fail. Think about this one. You might want to get your kids in baseball. Did you know that in baseball, if you can succeed 1/4 of the time, you can become a millionaire? Did you know that? If you can bat 250, you can get paid $1 million. You can hit a major league fastball and curveball 1/4 of the time. You can fail 3/4 of the time and you can make a lot of money. Look at it this way. If you could be successful 1/3 of the time, you'd be batting 330. You'd go in the Hall of Fame. You'd be a multimillionaire over and over and over again. And it still means that you fail 2/3 of the time. Boy, think about that. I mean, that's amazing when you look at it like that, isn't it? Did you know that Babe Ruth struck out probably 10 times more than the amount of home runs that he hit? Did you know that? He is the all-time strikeout leader, unless Jim Tomey passed him. Failure is a part of life. Now, let me bring it up. Have you ever been, let me say it like this. You know, sometimes we're going along and we're having a good day. Yeah? Things are going pretty good, you know. We get up, we're feeling good, it just seems like things are snapping along and humming along, and then all of a sudden, your day just turns out unlike what you thought it would be. It could be with a coworker, right? Has that happened to you lately? It could be, you know, with your spouse, you know. So, you know, the toothpaste was squeezed in the middle, not on the end, and you know, and now your world is turned upside down. You know, I'm being sarcastic, but you know, sometimes if you really think about some of the arguments, when you start going back, you're like, man, what are we arguing about? And you know, your day's doing good until you look at that toothpaste, and you're like, I am so sick of this. Yeah, man, don't act like it don't happen in your house. Or with your children, you're going along good. And you know, especially when they get to be teenagers, you know, things are going good. And all of a sudden, you know, the teenage attitude comes to the surface just for a moment. And, you know, you're just not in the mood for it today. And, you know, you just, you know, you lose your temper a little bit and you say something. It happens. You know, you say, you're like, man, I kind of blew it today. You know, parenting is about 90% guilt trip and 10% success. That's what parenting is. And you know, it happens. Or it could be that you've decided that you're going to step out and do something for God. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe God has laid it on your heart, you're going to teach. And the first time you stood before your class, man, you did. You just felt so much like a failure that you decided God wouldn't call me to do that anyway. God didn't want me to do that anyway. You know, it could be. It could be like Peter stepping out of the boat and he did good for a little bit, but then he started to say, it could be you're just trying to step out on faith, but somewhere along the way, you felt like a failure. Well, I want to tell you today, I want to tell you some reasons this evening why failure does not have to be final. We all experience failure. I would tell you this, and I probably got a few examples from my own life. If talking about failure, I probably got a lot of examples from my own life. But I was thinking, you know, I preached, you know, I don't know, over maybe a few thousand sermons. I preached a lot. I got a few books filled up with them. And you know, there's been times, maybe there's a sermon in the past years that God has used in your life, and you but I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot more sermons that you wouldn't even remember if I preached them again. And there's a whole lot more sermons that when I leave this pulpit, I'll be like, man, I sure wish I could have preached that better. I really feel like a failure. You know, but you know, here's the thing. We need to recognize that everyone fails. We all fail. Every one of us at some point in our lives, we fail. But now know this. This is not a license for us to compromise. This is not a license for us to let down and say, well, hey, I'm human. You know, everybody fails. I'm going to fail. That's not what I'm saying. But listen to me. It can be an encouragement for you and I to know that we are in the flesh and that we are in this together. And sometimes we are going to come up short. Do you know that the Word of God is filled with examples of people that were greatly used by God, and yet they were major failures at one time? Do you know that? I mean, Abraham, the father of all of the nation of Israel, the father of faith. Listen, he went down into the land of Egypt during a famine, and he lied, and he told a big one, and he was caught in the lie. And I want to tell you, he failed God. He failed. Moses, one of the greatest characters of the Old Testament, killed an Egyptian. He murdered an Egyptian. He buried him, tried to hide him, fled into the backside of the desert. That was not God's plan. God used it, but it wasn't God's plan. God didn't want him to murder an Egyptian. That wasn't how he was going to deliver. He failed God. Think about David. Think about how the man that is called a man after God's own heart, David, the man of God, the greatest king of Israel ever. Here's David, listen, and he's out on his roof and he sees a pretty woman and he's lured to her and he calls for her and they have relations and David commits adultery. Man, you talk about a failure. That's a failure. But listen, this is not a license for us to sin. This is not a license. Every spiritual person here can look back in your life and say, there's been a time when I failed. Every pastor, I don't care who they are, every pastor has some time in their life. Now, I'm not talking about moral failures, all right? I'm talking about maybe you know, you didn't handle a situation the way you wish you would have, or, you know, you didn't. James says for us that know to do good and we don't do it, to us it is sin. There are times when we look at situations and we go, boy, I wish I'd have handled that different. I wish I'd have done that. I got to tell you, I take notes on situations so that the next time they come my way, I hope I can handle them better. Because I look back in my life and I think, man, I've mishandled many things. You see, we all fail. We all fail. Secondly, remember this, that God loves us even when we're not successful. Amen? If I have to earn God's love, I'm in trouble. You and I as parents, how many times do we correct our children? Do we instruct our children? Do we, or our grandchildren, we tell them, no, don't do this. We want you to do that. We guide them. We protect them. We watch over them. Listen, when my dad introduces me, my dad doesn't introduce me as, yeah, this is my son, Eugene. He's the one that took the car when me and his mother was out one night. And when he pulled back up in the driveway, he tore up the neighbor's yard pulling in. And then he lied to me about taking the car. Did you forget about that? He doesn't introduce me like that. When I introduce my daughters, hang on. When I introduce my daughters, I don't say, this is my daughter, and she knocked the cable box off the side of the house when she was pulling her car in. I don't say that. I don't say this is my other daughter who still left a dent in the garage when she pulled her car in because she scraped it all the way in. I don't say that. I don't say this is my child that took a oil that was in a Prestone container and one of those window washing containers. It was used motor oil and filled up John's reservoir with oil instead of window washer because it was dark in the garage and they thought it was window washing solvent. I don't say that. I forgot about all that. No, you see, if you're a preacher, you got to remember, you got to file those under as needed category, you know. But I mean, you don't introduce your child as, yeah, that's the one, this is them. Nice to meet you. You know, you don't do that because you don't care about that. Yeah, those things happen. And you might get angry and you might get frustrated and you know, for a minute you might say, what is the matter with you? But you know what? At the end of the day, you love your children, and what you want most for them is to do their very best and to be successful in life. Yes, they're going to make mistakes, but you don't hold it against them. You try to correct them and you want them to do better. Can I tell you right now that God feels the same way about us? He feels the same way about us. God loves. Can you imagine with me just for a minute that when Abraham was down in Egypt telling a lie, God loved him. When Moses was burying an Egyptian trying to hide his sin, God loved him. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, God loved him anyway. God loved him. And do you know that when Peter was on the sideline denying Jesus, cursing, using foul language, Jesus loved him? Do you understand that? Think about it. Look with me in this. And it says in verse 61, it says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. You see, Jesus did not look at Peter with a look of surprise, because I'm going to tell you, Jesus told Peter just earlier in this same chapter, he said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter's like, I don't think so. I mean, he couldn't believe it. But when it happened, Jesus was not surprised. He knew it was coming. Jesus did not, let me interject something here. It's important for us to remember that Peter was looking at Jesus, because when Jesus looked at him, the fact that Peter noticed it means he was looking at him. He had his eyes on him. That's important. It's good to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen. And Jesus looked at him not with a look of disgust, not with a look of hatred, not with a look of contempt, but Jesus looked at Peter, I believe with all of my heart, with a look of love. I'm sure he was hurt, but he knew it was coming. And I think when Jesus looked at Peter, I believe he looked at him with a look of love and a look of compassion, because Peter had put himself in a tough situation. Number three, failure is not final if we grow from it. Listen to this. Failure is not a hitching post. Failure is a guidepost. Right? We have to learn from our mistakes. I am convinced, and we will see, Peter learned from this mistake. You see, he was hurt very deeply. And in John chapter 21, John gives the account of the disciples at the very beginning of the chapter. They're getting ready to go fishing, and Peter kind of is the ringleader. And I believe that Peter was so distraught and so hurt about what he had done. And it even tells us in verse 62, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. I believe there was genuine repentance on the part of Peter. But I believe he carried the scar of this mistake for quite a while. But I believe he learned from it. And even when he was getting ready to go back to fishing, I think he's learning a lesson. And Jesus is going to teach him one. But here's the thing now. You see, Peter learned that following the Lord, and I said this morning, I want you to get this. Peter learned that following Jesus cost something. And you know when he learned it? At the end of his life. Oh yeah, he denied Jesus here, but you know what happened? And Jesus even told him in John 21, he said, Peter, there's going to come a day you can go where you want to and do what you want to now, but there's going to come a day when they're going to stretch you out and put you in a place. And he was foretelling the death of Peter on a cross. Did you know that Peter was crucified and that he requested that he be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to even hang in the same position as the Lord Jesus Christ? You think he learned something? I believe he learned right here. I believe he drew a line in the sand. And I believe he said, I'll never, ever, ever deny him again. I'll never not stand up for him. He proved it in Acts when they called him in and they said, listen, we told you not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. It was Peter that spoke up and said, listen, all we can do is obey God rather than you. Peter learned a valuable lesson that following Jesus Christ sometimes might cost you something. And I believe he was willing to pay the price. I really do. Have you had failures in your life that you've learned something from? Boy, I have. I really have. Not just in preaching sermons, but in handling situations and things just since pastoring. There's been a lot in my life, but just since pastoring, there's been many, many failures that I've learned from. Failure, last one here, and then I'm going to give you a few suggestions. Failure is not final if we can put it behind us. You see, listen now. You see, you're not a failure if you can get up one more time than you failed, right? You might fall, but if you can get back up one more time than you've fallen, it's not final. You can keep going. You see, Judas, when he failed, he didn't put it behind him. He went out and committed suicide. But I'm going to tell you, Peter put it behind him. You know why? I know Peter put it behind him. Because here's a lot of times when people fail, whether it might be failing in teaching or failing in, you know, some other calling or some other ministry they tried, they fail, they fall on their face. What happens when you can't put it behind you? What happens when you can't learn from it? You stop, you quit, you give up. But you got to get up and keep going. And Peter did. And he would preach the first message on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people would be saved. Welcome to the ministry. It ain't always going to be that easy. He would, in Acts chapter 10, he would win the first Gentile convert into the church. Peter, the Jewish fisherman, he would do that. He was the guy in Mark where it says, Peter cursed and denied. You want to know who gave that book to Mark? Mark is Peter's memoirs. Peter followed Jesus. He gave Mark what to say, and Mark wrote it down. And it was Peter himself that said, I cursed when I did that. And he would write two epistles. Peter put it behind him because he went on, and he was greatly used of the Lord. When you make mistakes, don't let it be final. We all do. Now, I'm going to give you how to avoid this real quick. I got 5 points, but I promise they'll be quick. I know you're saying, uh-oh, but I promise. How to avoid failure. Number one, these are going to be quick. Don't put yourself in these situations. In verse 55, it says, Peter sat down among them. The last line there. Peter sat down among them. Listen, I've said it before. If you're on a diet, don't hang around a bakery. Right? Don't put yourself in situations that's going to tax your faith and tempt you to where you're not going to be able to hold up. Don't put yourself there. Don't put yourself in situations, and when you fall, blame God because you got sin in your life. Don't put yourself there. Be careful who you allow into your inner circle. Be careful who you allow to get close to you. We're God's people. We're chosen people. And we need to be careful who we allow to get in that inner circle. Yes, we have acquaintances. Yes, we've got a witness to the world. Yes, we've got to let our light shine. But we do not have to compromise with them. And if you think that's how you're going to get by, you're badly mistaken. We don't have, my Bible tells me in Romans chapter 6, we are not dominated by sin. And if You got a problem with something you're looking at? Don't turn it on! Wow, what a concept. You got to hide your eyes when you're in the giant eagle line. Do it. I'm serious. If you got a problem with drinking something, don't get around it. Hello. You're playing around on the computer with somebody you ought not. Get off of it. Don't put yourself in these situations and then wonder why you don't have victory. I get tired of weak-kneed, spineless Christianity. Hey, amen or oh me. Hey, listen to me. This ain't that hard. I don't have to stand up and go, oh, pray for me. Oh, it's so hard. No, I got victory in Jesus. The tomb is empty. I got the Holy Ghost. And I can have victory. Don't put yourself in them situations. Don't do it. Amen. Good preaching. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. Don't put your... Number two, I'm going to hurry. Don't rely on your own strength to get you through. In Matthew 26, I'm going to read it to you because I want to get it right real quick. Jesus says, "All you're going to be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I'll smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm risen, I'll go before you to Galilee." Peter answers, here's what Peter says, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will not I." I'll never be offended. Here's what I read him. I'm reading between the lines, you know, I'm using my preacher mind. And I see Peter with all the other 11 disciples. He's like, "Oh, they might deny you, but not me. Because I'm Peter. I'm a fisherman. I got hands like leather. And nothing scares me." I think that's really what he was thinking. And when you depend on your own power, you might be a big tough guy. I don't know. You might be a big tough girl. But I'm gonna tell you something, you ain't no match for the devil. He's just sneaky enough to get in your head and cause a lot of havoc. Don't depend on your own strength. Depend on the one, hallelujah, who said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Don't depend on your own strength. Even Michael, the archangel, had to call on the name of the Lord when he contended over the body of Moses with the devil. You need the Lord. Number three, remember God's word. Look in verse 61. The Lord turned, looked to Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. He remembered what Jesus said. Here's my contention. Let's remember before it happens. Amen? Let's get a steady diet of this great thing called the Bible. Let's read it. Let's apply it. Let's memorize it. Let's get into it. And when we get in these situations, before we get tempted, before we fall, let's pull out a verse and say, "Hey, listen, I'll not leave you. I'll dwell with you always." And let's pull out and say, "Hey, listen, you shall not be tempted above what you're able to stand." Pull out a verse. Remember what the sword is? Sword fight, man. When the devil comes, pull out the sword. You got the weapon. Remember the word. All right, number four. Pray about it. Pray about your failures. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus is telling Peter, "You're going to deny me," but he says, "I have prayed for you." Woo! Jesus prays for us. He's the intercessor. He's praying for us, but you got to pray too. Do you think you can go out there and face the world without praying? No wonder you're defeated. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just preaching the way God gives it to me. Claim Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Last point. Repent. Boy, that sounds so simple, don't it? That's what Peter did. He went out and he wept bitterly. He repented. But here's what I want to tell you. When you repent, the word repent means, it carries the idea of turning from it. Right? You got some reoccurring problem that you can't defeat. You got some reoccurring weight that's dragging you down. And you know, I've counseled enough people, and here's what I know. I know that you have a round with it. And you feel defeated, you repent, and you got resolve. And a few days later you kind of let down. And it might reoccur. That's what I know. I'm telling you, you don't have to. I'm telling you, repent, seek the power and the strength of Almighty God. We have the resources of heaven. And I'm telling you, I said it Wednesday night, listen to me, and I'm going to close with this. I'm telling you, there is nothing under God's heaven you cannot overcome through the power of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Don't tell me, oh, preacher, I'm having such a hard time with it. Don't tell me that. Do you really want to quit? Do you really want to really follow the Lord? Don't tell me you can't do it. Tell me I can do all things through Christ. Amen. That strengthens me. Well, I better quit. Let's stand. Let's get a song. I'm telling you, the Lord has just laid this on my heart. I don't know who. Them wasn't in my notes. I got to be honest with you. Most of that. I'm just preaching what God lays on my heart. And if you have failed, it doesn't have to be final. Peter repented. He turned from it. He learned from it. He put it behind him. And he went on and done great things for God. And so can you.